This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight is me, Bonnie,
Peakless Mountaineer,
and Richie Rich.
I always mute us during the breaks.
There will be no interruption until she intros the show back. That's all.
Yeah, it's like you know, you move your mic around and that gets on the air. Ian will hit you if you do that.
Not really. I've never been hit by you.
He wouldn't hit me. I was just kidding. Wow, it's not really making noise. It's kind of weird. I already introduced us. I was about to do that again. I just want to finish off this story. I mean, we were talking about Gypsy Rose Blanchard, who a lot of people are like fans of hers. It's a little weird.
Look, you get tortured that much for that long. I don't even care about the revenge side of things.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just more like, I mean, I get it, but I don't think it's normal to be a fan of hers.
Okay.
Well, I'm interested in the story.
I think this is just another example of what happens when you have a monopoly in the service of disputes. So if we had a market in court systems, then you could actually trust that, hey, if I go to my court, I'll get justice out of it. And then she would have had options. She would have been like, okay, you know what? If I sue you in court, I'm going to actually get justice. You're not going to do this to me anymore. You're not going to do this to someone else. And you'll be punished for using me for obvious fraud. Whereas we don't have the kind of court system that can be relied on for justice.
Yeah, like
she didn't even try though.
She mentioned that her mom would tell her stuff like,
okay. I mean,
her mom would say stuff like, "Oh, no one will believe you. The cops won't believe you." And
she might have been true.
It could have been bad. She could have went to the cops. They didn't believe her, and then her mom is like double torturing her or killing her or something.
And then you stab the mom.
Yeah.
Right. Like here's the thing. Even with that, like the vigilante justice side of things, right? If you have free market justice. If you wrong somebody, you'll want to go to arbitration because the alternative is violence.
They'll kill you.
They'll kill you.
Right.
So, like, I have wronged you. Yes, let us go to court. I'm not willing to die over this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there you go. So, it, the incentive is to go and provide some sort of justice. Otherwise, you just get stabbed, and that's the end of it. Or shot.
Right.
I'm fine with that, too.
She served 85% of her sentence, and she's now 32. She posted her first selfie of freedom on Friday. As of Saturday morning, the post had racked up more than 5.5 million likes and 220,000 comments. Earlier this month, she announced that an e-book chronicling her experience titled Released, Conversations on the Eve of Freedom will be published on January 9th. So she's already making some money for herself. Not just living off her pen pal husband. It says Gypsy had already been the subject of a documentary film titled Mommy Dead and Dearest from HBO, and I'm just like stunned by that name. That's pretty, like, they give these true crime things and the serial killers weird names. People are like fans of this. People are
true
creating
crime is a
market
weird topic.
For it.
Yeah.
It is weird.
There's a lot of podcasts and whatnot about true crimes and
I was getting into it for a while, and then I realized I was too creeped out all the time. Like, I went from, I don't care, no one's going to hurt me in San Antonio, I don't care, I'll just make a uninterested face and not make eye contact with people if it's a creepy area, to, like, I'm so scared in my own home. And I was like, wait, I got to stop watching those things, like on YouTube.
Or just get strapped.
Well, I didn't think it was that easy to get a gun. I don't know, I didn't know where to start.
Okay, but now you do.
Or have any money. Well, I know where to start.
All right.
now. But
it's a good place.
So
start at the beginning.
I got a little taser thing, but it was a terrible one. It was like that would never have really helped me because it's the type that's a stun gun, so you have to like go up to and touch someone.
Okay.
And I just felt like, how is this even protecting me? Like maybe to scare someone away. That's it.
All
and then I'd have to like
it's
reach
like
in and
a
get
shotgun,
to it.
Man, you hear the little clickety clack. You go, oh, maybe I don't want to bother.
It's pretty loud. It scares Coconut, even though everything scares my dog Coconut. That was basically it. I just wanted to finish that off to tell you guys why we even brought up Gypsy Rose Blanchard, and
she's
it's
out.
A really creepy
Hide your
story.
Moms.
People have all kinds of different opinions on it. Like some people think that she should have got life like her boyfriend.
I don't think the boyfriend should have got life.
Yeah, I don't either. Because he's autistic, and the only thing is he just keeps saying, "I'd do it again because I love Gypsy."
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah,
but,
dumb.
You know.
Well, I mean, the idea of, like, the argument for why you would want him to get life is, well, what if he gets another girlfriend and then kills for her, too?
Well, yeah, that's why you don't say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself and then do it again. Then you're just a repeat offender.
And then you're in jail for life.
Yeah, the idea of him getting life and her getting a few years, that's... I mean, she used him as a weapon.
Yeah, I know.
So...
like, she gave him the knife. That's the thing. It's like, it's not like I really want her to go for more. I feel like 10 years is, like, fair, maybe. Like, if she's going to go to jail, that's, like, fair. I don't know. It's hard to explain because I'm also, like, an anarchist.
Well, last week, because you were mentioning, like, the entire chain of command is guilty. So where does this fall on... the chain of command. Like, she gave the order, he carried it out.
I think she's less guilty than
all
him.
The way.
I disagree with that highly. No. I disagree so hard because it's like, are the people in Nazi Germany who are like, go and do this to the soldiers just as guilty as people shooting people in the back of the head? Like, that is not true. I don't think so. Because you can be
you
smart and be like,
you are just adding another machine to your gun.
You're not pulling the trigger on that machine.
If I push the button,
you didn't push it.
Then pulls the trigger
you can
on
talk
my
to the
gun.
Gun.
I am just
That's
as
not the
guilty
same thing,
as
Heathcliff. It's not the same thing. If you push a button, if you grab someone's arm and make them shoot a gun, that you're just as guilty. If you say words to a person and they decide to do something based on your words, that person is stupid and you're only like half as guilty.
If I tell you, do this or I'll kill you, and
they didn't
you do
say,
it.
They don't have to say that. That's different. That's threat. Okay, threat is different.
That was exactly the nature of it. Nazi Germany. That
it
was
wasn't
exactly
the, same way.
The circumstance. If
no,
you
it wasn't.
Defy the state, they will kill you.
Hey,
no,
Bonnie.
It wasn't.
Hey, Bonnie, is Barack Obama a war criminal, or did he deserve that Nobel Peace Prize?
He's a war criminal, but he's not as guilty as the people who went and shot someone in the head. If I was like going in and looking at an individual moment in Afghanistan of somebody getting hit by a drone strike, I would say the person who pushed that button is 100% guilty, and Obama is... partially guilty for that death.
So, life sentence for a stabbing versus 10 years for giving the order to stab, that's an appropriate disparity.
I just don't think he should have got life. Because he also, like, it's the whole entire situation. Like, he was defending his girlfriend. Like,
well, he wasn't,
not defending,
though.
Not defending, yeah.
It's definitely revenge killing.
It was
he
like,
deserved it, but it's
she
not
deserved
defense.
It, and also... they felt like, because they were stupid, that they had to do it.
Okay.
They were like, oh, well, she's been, like, telling me this whole, my whole life that she'll get me back in, like, blah, blah, blah. We can't go live by ourselves because she'll just
she'll
get me back and all this stuff.
So if you were the judge, what would be commensurate to her sentence for him for actually doing the killing?
I wasn't in the whole trial, but you're asking me what would be good for him?
Yeah, if you're saying there's a disparity in, you know... The effectiveness of giving the order versus actual stabbing.
I can't really think of myself as a judge putting someone in jail, but somebody who really killed someone, and I'm like a free market judge. I didn't hear the whole trial or anything,
but
just off what I know.
You know he stabbed her. You know she got like 10 years or whatever.
And you know she got 10 years?
Well, she got 10 years. She served 8 of it or whatever.
And then based off that.
But that was 8 years for
like,
giving the order.
Maybe like twice as much. Because like 20 years, I think he could be like, fixed by then.
Okay.
He could change his mind.
So let's say I've got a gun. It's a special gun. It's got a trigger with a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now if I use my trigger with a trigger, that still counts as using the gun, right? So if I then use the trigger to use the trigger, and I kill someone, like I aim
You're still
it?
Doing a thing in physical space that isn't just speech.
Okay, cool. Okay, so far, we agree.
No, we don't. Oh, I was saying if somebody is using a double switch trigger.
Okay, so if I add an extra trigger, it doesn't count as murder.
No, it does. That's what I was saying. Like, because you're still doing a physical thing in space. There's such a difference between doing the physical thing in space and saying words.
Okay.
Then that's what we're not agreeing on.
Hold on. Hold on. Now, what if, as part of my trigger mechanism, I actually make it do a 50-50? It does a 50-50 random number generator. If it's odd, then it fires. If it's even, then it doesn't fire.
It's like Anton Chigurin.
I think it's just as guilty as not doing that. As doing it without
the
50-50.
That's what hiring a hitman is.
No, it's not, because
that is literally
hiring a hitman is when you hire
a hitman, there is a percentage chance that that hitman is going to do their job, and there's a percentage chance
it's not the
that
same thing as doing
do
something with
job.
Your physical hands. Like, there is such a difference between the world of action and ghosts speaking into your ear. Don't you agree? Like, if a ghost can speak into your ear and tell you to do something, that's so much different than people with hands and the ability to manipulate things in space. So what I'm saying is, if you pull a trigger and knowing that you have a chance to kill someone, you're just as guilty as someone who pulled the trigger not thinking you have 50% chance. Because it's like, okay, you're still putting someone's life on the line for a chance. Like,
if you pull the trigger and the gun jams, are you still guilty?
Yes. Yeah, you didn't even kill anybody. It's called attempted murder.
Okay.
Attempted, and yeah. You're guilty of that.
Yeah, right. And we have a crime for that for a reason.
All right.
But
being an incompetent killer,
you just seem to not have an opinion.
Granted, makes you less dangerous than a competent killer.
You seem to not have an opinion on this hierarchy thing. I think that this is how, like, people get away with, like, karma hurting them. Do you think Obama is dealing with the same karma that a bunch of guys who went to Iraq and actually killed people, like, they're messed up in the head? I don't think he is.
Yes, he has tremendously
bad karma.
He is, however, unbelievably wealthy.
Yeah, he's living great.
Yeah, you can do evil things and be rewarded in a single life.
People with PTSD, because they killed people in Iraq, even if they're rich, they're not doing great. And I don't think Obama is that way.
Some people didn't get PTSD from doing that.
And a lot of those people are just like complete psychos.
Yes, yes.
But that doesn't mean that that's not like a...
Psychopaths still have bad karma.
And they still have bad lives, right. So I'm not saying that he's happy about it.
You're confusing karma with dharma, for one thing. But just because you have bad karma doesn't mean that you will have bad things happen to you.
It's not necessarily in this life, but like throughout an entire life, you think you haven't seen like really bad things happen to people who have actually killed people? Do you know anyone who has? Because I do.
Yeah.
And their lives are terrible. Like it's themselves ruining their own like inhabitation in their body with drugs and like the way that they think of themselves, all the way down to like, I'm talking about a specific person, old guy killed people in Vietnam, and he's ruined his entire life, can't have a good relationship, ruined his family as soon as he got home, been on meth the whole time. He's not, like, having a good life. Like, I just don't think that there are very many people who are actually psychopaths, actually killed people, actually living a good life, and truly happy, like, deep inside. I don't think so. And Obama, like, I'm not saying I know he's truly happy, but he doesn't give any kind of signs of being, like, I'm about to get... you know, end it all.
Well, of course
he's, like,
not.
He's, funding
that
movies
would reduce
and stuff.
His power.
The other thing is
he's
he may be a
power
psychopath.
Addict. A power addict is going to act like a power addict in the way that a morphine addict is going to act like a morphine addict. They're going to do the things that it takes for them to get the thing that they are addicted to. He is addicted to power, so he doesn't allow his image to show any cracks, because that lets people trust him with power less.
He doesn't really have, like, more power right now, does he? He's not, like, going and getting more and more and more
power. I mean,
the puppet master.
Seriously, like,
you think
Biden's running
that White
Biden?
House? I don't think Obama controls the White House, because Obama is just as much as a puppet.
I think he is a big part of it. I think he is a big part of the leadership that is currently in control. Why is that? Because he did his job well. And as a reward, they are letting him have power.
What evidence do you have that, like, Obama's doing anything in the White House right now? Like, what like, stuff do you see that you're like, oh, that
because
screams Obama?
Because all the other power brokers cozy up to him when he's at the parties.
Okay, well, I mean, that's just parties. Obama's, like, cool.
Okay, it's the times that we get to see these powerful people be social. And in the few times that we get to see the powerful people being social, this is what they do. So, yeah, I think he still
because
has a tremendous amount of power.
Because you have a lot of people, though. Like, do they all have... He said he was going to do that?
He said he was going to, like, his third term in office would be puppeting somebody else.
He said that?
Really?
Okay, then that's the kind of thing I'm asking you to tell me, because I didn't hear that.
I don't remember the actual interview or the actual words that he said, but he intimated that that's how he would have a third term.
That's super weird. But I didn't get an answer, though. What do you think about the hierarchy thing? Like, if I tell you to kill someone, you kill someone, am I just as guilty as you, 100% as guilty?
Yeah, no, I'm more on your side on this. And when you talk to most people about this, right, the example that I bring up is, like, either Barack Obama is guilty of war crimes or Charles Manson is innocent. Because all he did was give the orders. He never killed anybody.
Yeah, no, I agree completely with that.
So you can't have the dichotomy.
But there's also a difference between innocent and guilty of murder. Like, he might be guilty of something else. It's not murder.
Well, it's giving the order.
And he's guilty of giving the order. And most people feel this way.
But you're agreeing to some way he just said, then you're agreeing with me. Because if he's guilty of murder, then, like, if Charles Manson never killed anyone, I don't really know much about him.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that Charles Manson is guilty of murder.
We're disagreeing on that.
Right.
And you're disagreeing with him, but you said you
agree. No, his statement was that either you believe that Obama is guilty of war crimes, or you believe that Charles Manson is innocent.
Except I just explained to you how I have it both ways. He's not innocent of anything, and I'm not saying that Obama necessarily is guilty enough to even, like, have, like, jail time. Like, he's not innocent or guilty of, well, as far as I know about him killing someone,
to do things expected that they would get done, and they were correct. Now, either that is an okay thing to do,
this is what I'm saying,
or it's not.
Okay, listen, I'm not talking about okay or not. I'm saying guilty of murder. I don't think that Obama is guilty of murder. I don't think that Charles Manson is guilty of murder, and I basically already explained it to you guys. Like, I think they're guilty of something else. It's not the same exact thing as beating someone to death with a hammer. How could you think it's the same exact thing? Like, those people have done the same thing. Like, that's not true.
So what is the order giver guilty of?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's not murder. It looks like we have a caller on the line. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind?
Hi, this is Eric from California.
Okay, Eric from California, what's on your mind?
This is the first time I've ever actually heard you guys live. I usually listen, like, the morning after. Maybe it's the second time. The first time is they only put you on for an hour on our local radio station.
How dare they?
Well, call your program director and fix that. Remedy these problems for us, sir. We need your assistance. Okay.
I was just stoked about that. And, Bonnie, you have an excellent radio voice. And
thank you. Someone told me that yesterday.
Jay Noon is a Chad.
Wait, what'd you say?
Jay Noon is a Chad.
Oh, yeah. I thought he said it sounds like someone murdered a cat right after he said I have an excellent radio voice.
The Chad with all the muscles.
What if you just gave the order to murder the cat?
Because, like, Chad has meant such different things in my time. Like, it used to mean sort of the frat boy. Like, the consummate, like, moronic...
I thought it is.
You mean a Kyle?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I guess so.
Okay.
You're right. I did think of it as that, and then I just realized the new term is more like someone who's awesome and cool.
Yeah, like a manly man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jay Noon is the most awesome, like, free stater. I don't understand why people play video games. I just want to take care of my wife and children type.
And grow my own food. And I want to get there at some point.
Is that all you had for us, Eric?
In a studio apartment. What?
Well, good luck to you if that's what you want to do. And I said, is that all you had for us today?
Excited to hear you guys live.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and hopefully you can even contact the, what's it called?
Program director.
Program director. They said.
Or in the interim, find the live stream on the internet.
Yeah, right?
We do a live stream on the internet.
We have the live stream at freetalklive.com. I have to fix it today.
Multiple nights a week that you can catch the show live.
It's multiple nights.
It is multiple.
Multiple nights a week.
Well, thank you for the call. I was going to say it is on every day, but I forgot those aren't live. So it's like Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. That's when it's live.
There you go.
Anyways, let's get into this story that Lee brought in today.
Again!
Oh, God, sorry. Oh, I thought I cussed just now when I said, oh, God. But, you see, you guys scared me, okay? So, yes.
Some people would call that a cuss.
Anyways, we have Peakless Mountaineer's story here.
His name has become a killing word.
But do you want me to read this about what exactly it is? Or do you have, like, a pretty good definition?
About Bill Warren or something.
It's, Elizabeth Warren's bill that she wants to do is that it has five co-sponsors. Warren expands coalition of banking committee support for a bill cracking down on crypto's use in money laundering, drug trafficking, sanctions evasion.
Now do the same with the dollar.
Yeah, I thought you actually had like 20 sponsors. Okay. That's way less scary.
Oh, I see five new senators join.
Oh, five new ones. Yeah, that's much scarier.
Including three
standing
members
behind
of
her
the
on the couch.
Banking committee, it says. It says United States Senators Elizabeth Warren, that says, that's with an S. Anyways, announced an expanded coalition. Is she going by they, them now? So, United States Senator.
She goes
Senator,
by Native American.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren.
She's a twin spirit, you see.
Announced an expanded coalition of Senate support for her bipartisan digital asset anti-money laundering act, which would mitigate the illicit finance risks that crypto poses by closing loopholes and bringing the digital asset ecosystem into greater compliance with the anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism frameworks that govern much of the financial system. But it hasn't said exactly what it is. It's going to talk about all the new people joining. It says the Treasury Department is making clear that we need new laws to crack down on crypto's use in enabling terrorist groups, rogue nations, drug lords, ransomware gangs,
the CIA,
and fraudsters to launder billions in stolen funds, evade sanctions, fund illegal weapons programs, and profit from devastating cyber attacks, said Senator Warren. She continues, I'm glad that five new senators are joining the fight to take action. And it's going to be the toughest proposal on the table, cracking down on crypto's illicit use and giving regulators more tools in their toolbox. But I haven't really gotten into the stuff you told me about it, so what do you know about this new bill?
I think a lot of that's going to have to wait for a minute for us to actually get into it.
Hmm.
But
well, fill the time anyway, Peter.
I will. I certainly will. So there's only 100 members of the Senate, and apparently 20 of them have already co-signed with this bill. So she doesn't have that far to go. And, you know, I'm hoping that it'll be one of the hundreds of bills that she's put forward that doesn't go anywhere. Because of the, like, 500 bills she's put forward, something like three have passed.
Ever? Or, like, in 2 years? Okay. Ever. 603-283-6160. If you're on the line, please hold. And if you have something to say, you should call in. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Maine's top election official is removing former President Trump from the state's 2024 Republican primary ballot. Maine Secretary of State Shannon Bellows made that decision on Thursday.
I was duty bound to follow MEMA to ensure the candidates
All the candidates who appear on the primary ballot are qualified for the office they seek.
Bellow says Trump knew the risks for violence on January 6, 2021, and ignored them, which she believes disqualifies him from seeking office. Trump's team has argued the former president incited nothing that day and was only participating in free speech demonstrations that got out of hand. Netflix has discontinued over a dozen of its TV shows in the current year, including titles like Shadow and Bone, Glamorous, Agent Elvis, and Lockwood and Company. Even the mystery series 1899, which achieved a five-week presence on the Netflix Top 10 chart, faced cancellation. Notably, 5 out of the 14 canceled shows were animated. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160, and with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Bakeless Mountaineer,
and Richie Rich.
And I think we should just go straight into the phones. We have Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com on the phones with us. What's on your mind, Ridley?
Well, how closely have you guys been following what's been going on with TechBit lately?
I know that, so they're going to put in a bill to ask the question to voters if they want to secede, but they need to wait for Republicans to go and validate all of the signatures that they got, and those Republicans are dragging their feet on purpose. Ian told me that, but that's all I know.
Well, that's what was going on a week.
Yeah, and
that was going on a week.
Oh, that was going on a week ago.
Yeah, and apparently the last time they checked and saw how popular this thing was, it was like 76% of Texan Republicans would vote for secession.
Wow.
Why are they dragging their feet then on the signature?
Because most of the Republicans don't like it, but there are several Republicans that do. Well, what's the new news then, Ridley?
Well, they turned in the requisite number of petitions, but the GOP has rejected, in fact, hundreds of over 100, about 100,000 petitions. The GOP said, no good, because you turned it in on the day of the deadline. You were supposed to, you should have turned it in on the day before the deadline.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
That's not what a deadline is.
Yeah, that's not what a deadline is.
That is the claim at PNM.me, their official website.
They should sue them. I think that they can sue them.
All right. So I'm still a little confused. The GOP is dragging their feet because they don't want it to go through. But didn't you just say like a moment ago?
Oh, yeah. The voters and the party want different things.
The humans.
Okay. So 76% of GOP voters.
Correct.
Okay. And the party is. Okay. All right. I'm clear. Continue.
So, David.
So the next thing that.
Oh, go ahead.
The next thing that happened is that TNM, Texas Nationalist Movement, did what they said, always said they would do, and they have already filed suit, I think.
Oh, wow. So they said they'd sue them, and now they are already? Wow, that's fast.
Good.
I don't know how official that is, but it's they're suing them.
They should symbolically drag out the cannon again.
Did they do that there?
It's a Texas thing. The come and take it cannon? Yeah.
Well, and what this says is obvious. So if the Texan people didn't want to secede, then these people who don't want Texas out of the nation because they like being a very powerful force in the world empire, they should just put it on the ballot, have it defeated roundly, and then say, no, we already tried that. And it'd be very compelling at that point. But they know very well, if this thing gets on the ballot, the Texan people want to be an independent country.
Well, then you still got to make sure who's counting the ballots, man. If the politicians are counting the ballots and they don't want it, there's no way it passes.
That depends, actually, on what the judge says.
Go ahead, Ridley.
In New Hampshire, we have decent poll numbers, you know, that show 42% support for an independence referendum. However, in Texas, that number is 60%. And so it's likely that's what TNM folks keep saying, is if we can just get on the ballot, we become independent.
Right.
And getting it on the Republican ballot is that's a heartbeat away from getting it on the overall ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big deal. It's the elephant in America's room right now that no one's talking about, just like, you know, so many other things that blindside you and change history. But 60% favorability rating is just off the chart, for independence. And it means that eventually it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And the sooner the better. Because really, like, as soon as we can get one state to secede, other states are going to secede.
It'll domino.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that if they get it on the ballot and it doesn't win right away, it would still probably be pretty good, because then people will be able to say, like, oh, you know, 50%, or maybe not 50, like, oh, 40% of people support this. It seems like it'd be more than that at this point with all the polls.
Well, and I think that's why they're fighting this so hard, is even if it failed, it'd be a good step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it's more reasonable for other states to put it on the ballot.
Yeah,
but I think
they're
fighting this as hard as they are, because they don't think it's going to fail the first time. They think the second those Texans have a chance to cut away from the union, they will.
Yep. I mean, if you follow Texas Nationalist Movement on Twitter, they have a super compelling list of reasons and videos they make explaining this stuff to the people, and I really think that it would only be in their own best interest for them to secede, just like New Hampshire. Thank you for the call, Dave. If anyone wants to hear more from Dave Ridley, go to ridleyreport.com. He's been reporting on local politicians in New Hampshire for years. He did a little bit in Colorado a couple years back, or a year ago. And he took a short break, but now he's back on YouTube, BitChute, and Odyssey. And YouTube is the one that gets the most hits. Anyways, before the break, we were talking about this bill from Elizabeth Warren that Peakless Mountaineer wanted to talk about.
I did indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and this is one of those, I think this is just stupidity and not evil, but...
I feel like she's evil.
I mean, so here's the problem. If this bill passes, literally everything is illegal.
Well, okay, so before the break, we talked about all the support she was getting. What does the bill actually say?
So one of the things that basically what the bill is about is changing what counts as a financial institution. I mean, it's very boring sort of behind-the-scenes stuff, or at least it seems that way. But it includes unhosted wallet providers will now be considered financial institutions and have to do all the reporting requirements that the banks are required to do.
But only for crypto, like my leather billfold.
Well, so
with U.S. dollars in it.
Well, so here's the thing, though. The way that they define an unhosted wallet, the term unhosted wallet means software or hardware that facilitates the storage of public and private keys used to digitally sign and securely transact digital assets, such that the stored value of the property in the wallet and the owner and the wallet owner has total independent control over the value.
Okay,
so here's the problem with
that. Neopoints.
So, the number one, for example, is a wallet. Like, that itself is the address of a private key.
What about the whole digital part in that that you just read?
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, the number one is... You can take the number one, and you can send and receive Bitcoin with it. You can take the number two. You can use that as the private key to send and receive Bitcoin. You can take the letter A, and you can use that to send and receive Bitcoin.
So, I'm a little lost.
Okay, so...
Like, you can choose your wallet address?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, you've got your private key, and you have chosen a really, really obscure way of getting your private key here. You don't have to do that. Now, you don't have to do the 12 or 24 words fitting together that are this way of doing it. You can just take any ordinary number or letters.
Even if other people already have A?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. So if they don't know that it's ABBA, then okay, that's your wallet. And if that's sufficiently secure for you, you can just use that.
Abba, Father.
Right. So, like... For example, I could take the text of this bill, like the whole text of it, make a hash of that, and use that as my private key. But it gets worse than that. So, like, just the information itself of any given letter or number or combination of letters, numbers, and symbols, like period, is a wallet. Period exclamation point is a different wallet. Like, so just the information itself, these are all wallets. And anything that facilitates the creation of a wallet is an unhosted wallet provider.
So like a tweet?
So a tweet is a wallet provider.
That's stupid.
Your phone is a wallet provider. A piece of paper is an unhosted wallet provider. A pen is an unhosted wallet provider.
What is
air
unhosted?
That we breathe in order to write things down facilitates a wallet.
Well, what about the unhosted part? What is that supposed to mean? Because, like, Edge Wallet, it's not hosted by a... like, you have custody of your... Yeah, not exchange, but
because
it's still hosted somewhere.
Well, so that's the thing. It doesn't matter because it will be forced on you in the way that it specifies. So it is using unhosted wallet to mean this.
Mm.
So anything that facilitates a private key... Which, as I pointed out, a private key includes a letter,
but then
or a number, or the Bible. You can use your version of the Bible. You can take the text of that, turn it into a hash, and that itself is a private key. So,
They just define that, too?
Well, let's assume, I believe you, and let's assume the bill goes through. Doesn't that make the law so vague that it is unenforceable?
Completely. Depends on what a judge says. And that's kind of the problem, is that it makes all human activity illegal. It makes all knowledge, all memory illegal.
Got it.
So
what judge is going to say, like, yes, this is the way it's written, this is...
Well, if you look at what they tend to do, they usually go ahead and enforce it as it was intended, okay, instead of as it's written.
Well, so let's focus on that instead.
Okay, great. So this is going to make all use of this technology completely illegal.
Of Bitcoin, crypto technology.
All cryptocurrency technology will be illegal in the U.S.
Okay. Is that going to stop you?
Is that going to stop me? It's going to make me leave the country is what it's going to do.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, pure and simple. If New Hampshire is still part of the U.S. and the U.S. starts enforcing this, then yeah, I have to leave.
Let's get into this. I have a little list here of what it would do. It says the Digital Asset Anti-Money Laundering Act would, first bracket point, extend Bank Secrecy Act responsibilities, including know your customer requirements, to digital asset wallet providers, miners, validators, and other network participants that may act to validate, secure, or facilitate digital asset transactions. 2. Address a major gap with respect to unhosted digital wallets, which allow individuals to bypass anti-money laundering and sanction checks by directing FinCEN to finalize and implement its December 2020 proposed rule, which would require banks and money service businesses to verify customers and counterparty identities, keep records, and file reports in relation to certain digital asset transactions involving unhosted wallets or wallets hosted in non-BSA-compliant jurisdictions. There's more, but have anything to say about those?
My understanding is pretty simple that, like, anyone who has any of this stuff now has to report that they have it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to report any use of it. So, do you have a name? Well, that name is, in fact, a wallet. So, if you're holding on to that, you better report that wallet. Oh, do you have a serial number on anything? Well, you have to report that serial number and tell us whether or not there are transactions coming in and out of it and who are making those transactions.
You have to file the reports in relation to them.
Exactly. And, for example, every single bill.
Huh? Who's going to do that?
No one.
Well,
it's physically impossible. Okay, consider this. Every single bill
has
a unique serial number on it. And it would make a very, very useful wallet, because no one's going to know that you have that particular serial number, so you can just hang on to that $1 bill, use that particular serial number as your wallet.
Yeah.
So that
And then it's like hidden in plain sight. Oh, that's kind
of
smart.
I mean, there's any number of non-filing tax evaders in the United States at any given time, and I would presume that a lot of the crypto users probably are a good subsection of that.
Good percentage, yeah.
Right. So if they're already not filing government documents, and the government goes like, here's a new filing requirement that you must file, like, they're not going to comply.
Well,
like, the whole point of crypto is, like, we don't comply.
Moving on in this bullet point, it also directs FinCEN to issue guidance to financial institutions on mitigating the risks of handling, using, or transacting with digital assets that have been anonymized using digital asset mixers and other anonymity-enhancing technology. Sorry, I thought I was going to say it directs them to, like, go after people. I was like, you might find yourself in a soup more often.
So,
I mean, like, they have all kinds of technology. My neighbor, he reads all kinds of books, and I can't remember the name of any because he always suggests them to me, but I never, like, I'm not going to read them because it's just that it's not something I'm interested in. But he's read all kinds of books about how the government has been tracing Bitcoin, and they're really good at it. He says they
can
trace Monero.
Well, that's a stretch, but all right.
They talk about how they do it in these books. I can get the names for you.
Well, the thing with Bitcoin is it's a public ledger. The government can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can see it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. You can look at all. It's like that hasn't stopped it thus far.
Right.
It's how do you associate your wallet on the blockchain with the individual who's, like, in control of that wallet?
They do it by figuring out, like, what IP address utilized it and stuff like that. Like, I don't know the exact details, but the neighbor says that they, like, it doesn't matter. If they want you, they'll find out who it is.
Well, I mean, that's true across the board. But then that means, like, don't even bother locking your doors, because if you want to be found, they'll get you. Right? And you can have that level of paranoia.
Yeah.
But I don't think the vast number of crypto users, Bitcoin users, are like on the government watch list for that level of paranoia.
Well, the vast majority may not be, but maybe people who talk about it on the radio, oh, that's never happened before, never mind.
Right. Well, like I buy Bitcoin from somebody, right? I've never used a mixer. I've never been on like Coinbase or any of those providers.
Exchanges,
yeah.
I give people cash and they transfer Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, okay. Like you got me. Like my phone, the IP on my phone has it. But if I used a VPN, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
You can't. You know, they can block all the on ramps and on off ramps on the exchanges, but like peer-to-peer cash transactions are just as pervasive, and those are the ones that they won't be able to track. And those are the ones that, before crypto came along, was done in Federal Reserve notes and did all the money laundering, all the, you know, all the hitman hiring, mm-hmm. right, all the shady drug deals. It was already being done in cash. And so they're not going to stop any of that. And they're not going to catch anybody who doesn't want to be caught. Right? Okay, you got me. I have crypto, but they don't have the keys to my wallet. They don't have the password to get on my phone. If they try too many times, whatever, it's encrypted somewhere. They can't take anything from me. All they can do is hold me in a cell.
All these things are good points. And to be fair, my neighbor who talks about that stuff is a really paranoid person. But let's read the last three things it says it will do. It will strengthen enforcement of BSA compliance by directing the Treasury Department to establish an anti-money laundering /CFT, I don't see what that means right here, compliance examination and review process for money services businesses and other digital asset entities with BSA obligations, Bank Secrecy Act obligations, and directing the Securities and Exchange Commission and Commodity Futures Trading Commission to establish anti-money laundering, CFT compliance, examination, and review process. I feel like we already read that.
So if you're a high-level trader, maybe like Ian was, or you're running a Bitcoin ATM or vending machine, right? Maybe you're on their radar a little more than the average person,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you take, you know, the necessary steps to get around that, or you just fall into compliance because you're not doing it for activism. You're not doing it to, like, stick it to the man.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it because it makes you money. And if it makes you money, you just follow rules and make the money.
Well, so that's the thing. I mean, the reporting requirements on this are literally impossible to follow.
But it has been like that for a while. When they put it on the IRS form, when you fill out your taxes at the end of the year, how much value in cryptocurrency do you have? I'm like, who knows, man?
No. I mean, like, so for example, right now you can deposit from any address, right?
Sure.
So they don't know for sure, even though that went into your account, that it came from your wallet,
right?
So that's one of the reporting requirements, is where did this money come from?
I'm not going to report it.
Hmm?
I'm going to be one of those people that doesn't report it. The thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that just don't care will slide under the radar as long as we can, right? But it's one of those, like, strengthened numbers. They can't get everybody.
And that's what sucks. A lot of people are going
to
do it.
And that's basically what this puts you down to, is you have to use the black market or they will put you in jail.
I already use the black market because it's safer.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting that this will affect you.
Okay.
Unless they decide that it affects you. Because that's the problem here. You don't know how they're going to enforce it at a given time. So they'll start out by making it very crypto-focused and then just expand and expand. And eventually it's like, I'm sorry, you have a book, and books are wallets. So you go to jail because you had a book.
Okay.
Aren't they going to burn all the books before then?
Well, it will be legal under this law to burn every book.
That's what all the dystopian novels tell me. Well, this other thing it says they're going to do.
That seems like a stretch.
The other thing it says they're going to do is to extend the Bank Secrecy Act rules. They're going to make it to where any person engaged in a transaction with a value greater than $10,000 in digital assets through one or more offshore accounts has to file a a report of foreign bank and financial accounts with the IRS. And
I think your article is focusing on all the wrong things here.
I thought that was all it was going to do. There's only one more. Is there something else that you've...
So you do a crypto transaction, and it's on like a Chinese miner's ledger, and you're like, it's a foreign transaction. Is that it, really?
Yeah.
Seems like a stretch.
What sucks is like it doesn't go anywhere. It's never Bitcoin is in America, now Bitcoin is in China. It's always on the same ledger.
Right.
Right.
It's not ever in China.
Yeah, and that's basically the problem that they're running into here, is that they keep trying to use old laws to enforce on a technology that is not applicable to those laws.
Well, then let's let them spin their wheels instead of pointing out how wrong they are.
Well, I'm just going to say the last thing, since it's the last thing here. It says they will mitigate the illicit finance risks of digital asset ATMs by directing FinCEN to ensure that digital asset ATM owners and administrations regularly submit and update the physical addresses of the kiosks they own or update and verify customer and counterparty entity. And right now, identity. And right now, like every ATM owner, really it's a kiosk. Really it's a vending machine. But every ATM owner... files. Every ATM owner, basically. Because Ian's not an ATM vending machine owner anymore. And they all do it. That's why they all get in trouble.
Well, they got in trouble for not filing. And so, again, if this is your business, right, it's like, this is how I make my money, right, you comply because it's not an activism thing.
Well, that's the thing. They comply, and then they... since they've given up their information and everything, then they get in trouble for something else. Like the guy in Texas who was on the show once, he was in trouble for, well, you were doing this thing and you didn't have the federal paperwork. And he was like, okay, well, there wasn't, or no, you don't have the state paperwork. He complied by telling them, this is me, to the feds. Yep. There was no such thing as state paperwork as in Texas. He said,
and federal law requires that you have state paperwork.
Yeah.
Even though that state doesn't have any paperwork associated with it. Didn't follow the rule.
Yep. So the way they got him was, instead of like a judge saying that makes sense, he was like, they were like, okay, well, if you don't take a guilty plea, we'll go after your wife. So he just took a guilty plea. It was like a year and a half. But
well, there's your mistake right there.
It looks like we have a caller on the line. I don't know your name. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind?
I'm
sorry, caller. Can you hold, because I didn't realize what time it was, and we don't have enough time in this break. We'll be back in like 8 minutes. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.